precious promises and prophecies.
The whole world is still following the conflict and the failed peace efforts that have been taking place in the Middle East. The Jews and the Arabs are very much still at odds with one another. They are both descendants of their father Abraham, but they continue to struggle over territory in the Middle East. And while these nations and others are calling for peace, many continue to increase their military buildup. The Bible students are anxiously watching what turn of events take place. In the account in John, the Epistle of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 39, the Pharisees questioned the authority of Jesus as he was teaching God's word and performing many miracles. They claimed Abraham as their father. The account tells us Jesus acknowledged that the Jews to whom he spoke had Abraham as their father, but we see that our Lord did not consider very many of them, the Jews, as being really children of Abraham, as indicated in verse 39, where our Lord says, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." They were a divided class of Jews to whom Jesus spoke in their outlook toward our Lord as being the Messiah. Some indeed did believe on Jesus, but while others were in opposition, and some extremely so that they sought to kill our Lord. In the 56th verse of that chapter, Jesus says to them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." What did Jesus mean when he made that statement to them? The people to whom Jesus spoke certainly did not understand it. Let us turn to Genesis, the 22nd chapter, verses 15 to 18. Earlier in this chapter, Abraham's faith was tested by God. He was told to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And now Abraham and Sarah had waited 25 years for Isaac to be born. Sarah was beyond years of normal childbearing. Isaac was to be his heir. Isaac was a son of promise. In the verse 16, where we read the Lord's words, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son," and 17, "that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sun which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy." The 18th verse, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." But because Abraham obeyed God's voice in being willing to sacrifice Isaac, because Abraham knew in his heart that by faith that Isaac would be raised from the dead, God gave the unconditional promise that that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through the seed of Abraham. Abraham actually did not slay Isaac. In verses 12 and 13 tells us that the angel of the Lord stayed his hands and provided a ram for the sacrifice. Now Abraham had been making sacrifice offerings of animals to God. Therefore, when the Lord provided a ram in the place of Isaac, no doubt Abraham, by faith, grasped to some extent the value of that sacrifice. The Apostle Paul writes of Abraham's faith in Hebrews 11 chapter, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And the 19th verse, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So this account tells us that for all practical intents and purposes, as we say, the expression, Abraham did offer up Isaac, his only son. This is a wonderful testimony respecting this patriarch, Abraham. It was based on Abraham not withholding his son, Isaac, from sacrifice, that the promises of verses 17 and 18 were given. In other words, the antitype of Isaac, even Christ, when he gave his life as a sin offering at his first advent, provided the means whereby all the families of the earth would be blessed in due time. In Romans, the 9th chapter, verses 4 through 8, the Apostle Paul writes concerning those who claim to be the descendants and heirs of the promise given to Abraham, where the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 9, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the promises? For they are not all, that is, true Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The 8th verse, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. There is a difference. The children of the promise are of those who have believed and accepted that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is that promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, that he paid the ransom price and have accepted him personally as his Redeemer, that they have made a full consecration to God to follow in Jesus' footsteps. They must have God's Holy Spirit operating in their lives. The account in Genesis tells us that Abraham's seed was to be composed of two classes, as the stars of heaven and as the sun, which is sand, which is upon the seashore. When Abraham heard this reference to his seed, it must have seemed strange to him, but he would realize that much more was implied in this description than could be fulfilled in Isaac. We are able to understand more today than did Abraham. Through the begettal of God's Holy Spirit, the important lesson we learned from Abraham was his great faith that God would fulfill his promise to bless all nations through his seed. Let us look at the stars of heaven feature of Abraham's seed. The Apostle Paul writes to the Galatian brethren in verses 5 to 9 in chapter 3, that faith in Christ was all important requirements, you might say, for progress as God's children. And he uses Abraham as an example to follow. And so we can see that from Galatians, the third chapter, starting with verse 8, actually, that God preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. It is interesting to note that the Apostle Paul calls this, in the Old Testament, the gospel. That the gospel, God preached before the gospel unto Abraham. This gospel message, the good news, God's plan of redemption for mankind. That was the gospel that was preached to Abraham. And to encourage the Christians, the Apostle Paul adds in verse 9, So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Further in Galatians, the third chapter, verses 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And so here we find the Apostle Paul enlightening the Christians in respect to one part of Abraham's seed, that is Christ. The Apostle Paul was begotten of God's Holy Spirit and commissioned and inspired to tell forth the truth that Abraham saw far off. Abraham did not know the details, but trusted God that whatever he provided would bring about the blessings of all the families of the earth. And here we see that God had Christ in mind when he said the stars of heaven seed would be one part of that seed of Abraham that would fulfill the promise to Abraham. The Apostle Paul continues in Galatians, the third chapter, and enlightens us further concerning Abraham's stars of the heaven seed when he declares that truly consecrated followers of Christ are members of the seed of Abraham. And this is revealed in Galatians, the third chapter, verses 26 to 29. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The apostle does not say as many of you as have been baptized in water have put on Christ, but as many as have been baptized into Christ, immersed into Christ's death, fully consecrated. There is no reference to water here at all. Water is merely the symbol of death baptism. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a wonderful truth the apostle brings out here. Christ, the head of that Abrahamic seed. those truly baptized into Christ are part of the seed of Abraham. They are the stars of heaven, seed of Abraham, Christ and his church, being the principal means of blessing all the families of the earth. Abraham saw this, saw Christ's day, saw the day when Christ would pay the sacrifice for mankind, just as Abraham himself was willing to sacrifice Isaac. He also saw the day when Christ would have associates, although he may not have understood the details. Abraham had faith in God's promises that his seed, as the stars of heaven, would constitute the means of bringing blessings to the whole earth, to the nations of the earth, together with the sand by the seashore seed. Our Lord, as head of the spiritual seed of Abraham, had cause to rebuke the Pharisees of his day when they asked for a sign from him. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 38 to 42, in these verses, the Lord gives two illustrations of Israel lacking appreciation of their Messiah, who came unto his own people, and his own received him not. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 41, the Lord says, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." And also in verse 42, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." This Abraham saw by faith. He saw the first advent of Christ. He rejoiced to see Christ's day and was glad. This, then, is the first fulfillment of Christ's day in which Abraham rejoiced to see by faith, and in which we also rejoice because Christ's church, as members of Abraham's spiritual seed, are part of the stars of heaven's seed. They also fit into the first part of Christ's day during this gospel age, as they made or make, as the case may be, their calling and election sure. In Isaiah, the 51st chapter, verse 16, we have a reference to that first part of the day of Christ, where we read in the 16th verse, "And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people." The planting of the heavens, interesting statement. In other words, the planting of the heavens, the making up of the stars of heaven class, is the preparation of this seed that has been going on since Christ's first advent. God desires to take many sons to glory, as the scripture says, to be associated in that great work of dispensing the blessings of salvation to all humanity. With the completion of the stars of heaven seed and the final planting of the heavens, then the laying the foundation of the earth will go forward. This will mean a wider and complete, more complete fulfillment of the day of Christ. In this connection, the prophecy of Genesis, the 13th chapter, verses 14 to 17, is really applicable. "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Also in Genesis 15, verse 18, we read, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. This is a tremendous tract of country yet to be given to the seed of Abraham, the sand by the seashore seed. This does not imply that Abraham's descendants are to obtain this land by their own efforts, but they will receive it in due time from God's hand. God has promised this land to Abraham, from the river of Egypt, the Nile River, to the great river Euphrates, a great tract of country which is to come into the possession of Abraham's sand by the seashore seed. In connection with the promises which God made to Abraham respecting the extent of the land for a possession by Abraham's seed, we have an interesting account in Acts, the 7th chapter, verses 2 to 5, given by Stephen, remember, before the Jewish council, and speaking of Abraham and the land of Israel, which God promised to Abraham, Stephen declared, starting in verse 5, and he gave him none inheritance. He gave Abraham none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no seed. Abraham wasn't born. God is still going to fulfill this promise. We see what has happened in the Middle East over probably 60 years, over that, with Israel gaining a foothold and establishing itself as a nation in 1948, and all the nations around wanting to destroy Israel. They boastfully pride themselves, they'd like to push Israel right into the Mediterranean Sea. But Israel, as well as the other nations, also must learn a hard lesson, that they are not going to receive the inheritance of the land by their own effort. God will give it to them in His due time. In the meantime, Israel must learn the lesson of humility and dependence upon God, and not upon their own arm of strength to gain that which God has promised. We believe that Christ, head and body, will then be reigning as the stars of heaven seed complete when God does fulfill this promise to the earthly seed with Abraham and others, other fathers of Israel, restored to life in the resurrection day. This will be in complete fulfillment of Jesus' words, where he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. However, just how God will fulfill his promise and the seed of Abraham possessed a great expanse of territory stated in Genesis may not be clear to us at the present time. Let us review some prophecies of Christ's day. In Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verse 7, it is stated that it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Then in verses 18 to 20 is given a most important message. Quote, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap. Verse 20, their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. All that oppress Israel will be punished in God's time. How will God do this? In Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3, we have a very clear prophecy showing that ultimately the Lord intends to protect Israel. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. So in God's appropriate time, I believe that God will perform some miracles in the Middle East, because Israel is going to be an exhibition to the whole world of nations. When God shows his hand on behalf of Israel, all the nations of the world will take notice. In the meantime, God has some very important purpose in allowing Israel to be harassed and in circles round about in a terrifying way. Returning to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 10 and 11, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Verse 11, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. The Lord will not leave Israel unpunished. Israel must learn that dependence upon the Lord only is going to fulfill the desires of their heart. Also, God will never allow Israel to be exterminated. Just how he brings about their great deliverance and punishes the nations coming against Jerusalem is a matter of prophecy. And we have faith to know it will be accomplished in accord with God's timetable, not only on behalf of Israel, but also for those warring against Israel. All the other nations must learn their lesson also, that God must be obeyed if they are to benefit from the blessings to flow out from the Abrahamic seed, from the stars of heaven's seed. From Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 7 to 12, in part, we read, thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country. Verses 9 and 10. They shall come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Verse 11, "For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow at any more at all." Here we have revealed the time when all is at peace and rest, when God has delivered Israel from their enemies, and the blessings of the Lord are due to come upon Israel and ultimately all upon all nations, when they learn to obey the instructions of the Lord. Then they shall not sorrow anymore at all. Turning again to Zechariah, the 12th chapter, verses 9 and 10, we read again of the Lord's deliverance of Israel. "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon him," King James says, "and they shall look upon me," but I think him is correct, "whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for one as for him as one mourneth for his only son." Here we have revealed the time when Israel will recognize the fact that they crucified the Lord. They will look upon him, not literally, but their minds will go back to the time when Christ was crucified. The Lord will never again be manifested as a human being, for he is the express image of the Father, having all power in heaven and in earth, and will administer the kingdom blessings from above. This will be Christ's day in which Abraham rejoiced. In Isaiah the 51st chapter, verses 2 and 3, we read, "Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you." Now, this is a pictorial language. Abraham representing God and Sarah picturing the Abrahamic covenant. "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord." It is a beautiful picture in these prophecies that the Garden of Eden, a perfect earth condition, will be abroad in the earth again. Verse 11, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord," that is all mankind, "shall return," that is from the death condition, "and come with singing unto Zion. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." These scriptures tell us about the great time of restitution of all things, Christ's day. And turning to Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verses 18, 19, and 22, we have another picture with reference to all mankind, ultimately. "In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." These are not of necessity literally blind or deaf, but in Christ's day the people shall hear and perceive the truths required for salvation. Verse 19, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." And verse 22, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale." This means that Jacob will come back in the resurrection day, and he will not grow pale. He will not grow pale from fear of his enemies, nor will he not grow old. He will live forever, as will everyone else who obeys the laws of Christ's kingdom. In Psalm 22nd chapter, verse 27-28, all the ends of the world, that is every nation, shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. And verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. And what a governor! Christ and his church, as the stars of heaven's seed, will administer from above through the sand of the seashore seed for the blessings of all the families of the earth. In Zechariah, the 8th chapter, verse 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, or at least representing all nations of the world, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. What a change that will be when compared to present-day conditions in the world. And lastly, we'll close with the fulfillment of the words of Micah, the 4th chapter, verses 2 and 3. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up the mountains, or kingdoms of the Lord, and to the house of the Lord of Jacob, natural Israel, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of Zion, the stars of heaven seed, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and the sand of the sea, seashore seed. And verse 3, and he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations far off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We thank God and praise God for these promises. Abraham truly rejoiced to see Christ's day, and he saw it and was glad. And let us be faithful that we may be a part of that spiritual seed. Amen. I have one little addendum. And that is an event that was on television last night. I didn't have time to look at it, but you may have heard of it. I have not before. But on the Glenn Beck talk show last night, there was a report by Joel. He was just, you know, questioned. They were talking about by Joel Rosenberg, and a title, The Sign of the Times. Quite interesting. So I wonder if this is, and one of the things that we found, this person, Joel Rosenberg, interprets all of these prophecies literally. That's what is reported. And so it's kind of interesting, the timing. I wonder if this is even some of the work of the adversary that Carlton called to our attention. But the people are taking notice. Now, whether it's the adversary's work, but because we know the adversary is going to be used to eventually praise God's name. So it's kind of a jumping ahead of the Bible students in a way. Erroneous, partly. But nevertheless, there. Interesting. How many of you saw that? Ken said, one, two, cut two. I could not take the time to, you know, follow everything that was said, but I thought I'd let you know.
Oh, a second addendum?
Yes. Sister Pat and I are very blessed of the Lord, very thankful for the Lord, to the Lord, for the privilege of again being with you, brethren, here in Boise. And I think I failed to mention that before, and shame on me. But anyway, we thank you. We thank the local brethren for all their hard work in arranging this convention, which we so much enjoy.